This is Scott Berguin of KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We have on the phone with us this morning Michael Bean, the wildlife chair at the Environmental Defense. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Well, with some one of the many things that seem to be happening all over the place with the Bush administration, and now the latest out of Congress anyway is an attack on the Endangered Species Act. Could you fill our listeners in on what is going on?
Yes, yesterday the House of Representatives passed the first major amendments to the Endangered Species Act since 1988. Those are amendments that, in our opinion at least, would do quite a bit of damage to the Act and make it a less effective tool for conserving our rare wildlife.
Okay, so this is, what do you hold out as the chances of this? It goes to the Senate now, I assume.
Yes, the bill will have to go to the Senate. I think the Senate is much less likely to go along with what the House has done than the House itself was. The Senate, I think, is likely to proceed at a more deliberate pace and to offer a more moderate bill than what the House offered. Mm-hmm. There is certainly ample precedent for that. I've been working on this issue for quite a number of years. I can recall as long ago as 1978 when the House of Representatives passed a whole bevy of major weakening amendments to the Endangered Species Act, and the Senate basically rejected virtually all of those. So I rather expect that that is the most likely outcome, but it's anybody's guess for sure.
And of course, I'm sure you would encourage people to not count on that and to contact their senators.
Yes, absolutely. I think the Senate needs to hear loud and clear that it should not do what the House did, that it should stand up for continued effective protection of the nation's rare wildlife.
Well, I noticed in the statement that you wrote for Environmental Defense and released yesterday, Thursday the 29th, that one of the key parts of this act that most concerns you is the part of paying off the developer if it's found that their proposal would threaten endangered species. Could you say more about that?
Yes, that's actually part of a sort of a two-part proposal in this bill that passed the House. The first part is if a development project is submitted to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for a determination whether it was going to adversely affect an endangered species, and the Fish and Wildlife Service can't respond within a 180-day time frame, then that project can go forward without regard to whether its impacts on endangered species are huge or small. If, on the other hand, the Fish and Wildlife Service responds and says, yes, this development project will definitely harm or injure endangered species, then the developer has the right to insist that he be fully compensated for not pursuing the project. It truly is an unprecedented idea that would expose the taxpayers to considerable risk of paying for all sorts of speculative projects, including multiple similar projects in the same locality from different developers, really accomplish nothing of any great consequence for the conservation of endangered species.
Well, this seems to be, I guess it's a move that's been going on around the country for some time now, but I know here in Oregon, in our last election cycle, unfortunately, from our perspective anyway, the voters of our state passed what was called at that time Measure 37, which allowed for compensation of basically a similar thing that you're talking about,
right.
At least half of it, the part to pay, conjure up what the term for it is called right now, but basically a developer, somebody whose so-called rights, property rights, were affected by some kind of environmental or some other kind of law that they would think took those rights from them.
Yes, this legislation that the House approved yesterday goes well beyond even what Oregon has, in that it requires compensation irrespective of whether the value of the property has been reduced at all by the requirements to protect endangered species. Mm-hmm. Instead, it requires compensation simply for foregoing a particular use that would kill or injure endangered species, even though foregoing that use would not necessarily diminish in any way the value of the property. So it is a most extraordinary giveaway of taxpayer dollars without any compensating conservation benefit.
Well, I don't think it takes a rocket or an environmental scientist or even a lawyer to see that what this effect this could have on Fish and Wildlife and other agencies would be for it to just freeze.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Just to return for a moment to the point I made that if the Fish and Wildlife Service cannot review a project within the deadline, then that project can go forward. Well, I think a good clue as to whether the service is going to be able to meet those deadlines can be gleaned from the following fact. In this Bush administration, 31 species have been added to the endangered species list. They're supposed to be added within one year after they are first proposed for listing. However, 31 of the 33 were late, and indeed two-thirds of those, 24 of those, were more than a year late. So the service already struggles because of inadequate budgets to meet the deadlines it already has. The Pombo bill would create new deadlines for new duties, and the consequence of missing those deadlines would be that the species would lose.
And then one can follow this down the line and see that, I'm assuming, I don't know this specifically for sure, perhaps you do, that the Fish and Wildlife Service budget is one of the agencies that has been had seen their budgets being cut over the last few years.
The Fish and Wildlife Service is definitely looking ahead to a future in which its budgets will be substantially cut.
Is there an agenda for some in Washington to remove the Fish and Wildlife Service completely, or at least to, it's like gutted, I guess, so that it can't operate at all?
There certainly is an agenda by some in Washington to shrink government to the point at which it cannot effectively function. I think we've seen just very recently how important government really is when needs are urgent, and there is a clearly an ideological move afoot to handicap government, to cripple it, not just the Fish and Wildlife Service, but more broadly.
Right. Okay, so a timeline. Is this something that the Senate is likely to take up real soon, or what kind of timeline are we on here?
I think the Senate is unlikely to take it up immediately. I think at the earliest, the Senate might take up endangered species legislation around the end of this calendar year or the beginning of the next calendar year. But they're not under any compulsion to act immediately just because the House has acted.
Okay. So it sounds like it would be good for the public, folks listening, to contact their senators immediately just to let them know where they stand on this and then keep our ears to the ground.
Yes, that's certainly correct. I think that the immediate task would be to inform senators that what the House has done is really not acceptable and the Senate should not follow it.
Okay. Anything else you would like to share with folks on this issue or other issues that your organization is keeping an eye on?
No, Scott. I think this sort of covers this issue quite adequately. I appreciate your interest in it.
Okay. Well, we'll touch back with you and keep an eye on it, and I will let people know that your website is environmentaldefense.org.
Yes.
And is it okay if I share with them your phone number?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you do that?
Our Washington office number where I work is 202-387-3500.
Okay. Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate your spending time with us this
morning.
You bet. Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.